Good morning, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of the Rural Roundup with Tom Wills. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing here at Sintons. And as usual, I'm joined by Head of Rural Agriculture and Estates at Sintons, Tom Wills. And we're delighted to be joined today by Sheila Ramshaw, who is an associate in the dispute resolution team here at Sintons, where she deals with regulatory matters. Our podcast today will last the usual sort of 10 to 15 minutes. And Tom and Sheila are going to discuss the Environment Agency and farming. Tom's going to kick off. Tom, good morning and over to you.
Good morning, David. Thank you for the kind introduction as ever. Yeah, Sheila, great to have you with us today. I know you're going to be talking a bit about the Environment Agency, what they've been up to, what they're targeting, looking at, and how people can possibly look to make sure they're compliant, and give a few tips, tricks, if you like, as to what people can be looking at to hopefully avoid being on the naughty step, make sure their businesses are fully operational, up to speed, and have the necessary protections. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the Environment Agency are looking at targeting at the moment, and what their kind of policy agenda is?
Yeah, sure. Morning. Thanks, Tom. Yes, the Environment Agency have for about a year and a half now been focusing in on the naughty boys and girls, especially around farming. They've undertaken just over 4,500 inspections, and out of that, there's been over 6,000 improvement actions on farming alone. So it's a focus that they've really honed in on. What their aim is to conduct 4,000 site inspections every year. So at the moment, they're focusing in on the farms that have had some issues, some non-compliance issues, but more and more the plan is to just spot check a farm for whatever reason or for no reason at all. So what they plan to do over the next few months is to conduct an inspection. And if at worst case, they believe that the farmers are not complying with the rules and regulations, they can then take enforcement action. And up to March of this year, they've actually taken enforcement action against 140 farms.
Wow. Quite a few then, a considerable number.
It is, and it is concerning. I mean, the farming at the moment, the pollution is causing a lot of problems for the Environment Agency. So they're very hot on looking at the permits and making sure that the regulations are being followed. A lot of the farming industry does have permits and licenses, and as long as you're complying with those, then it's absolutely fine. The issues arise if you're just not following what the permit actually asks you to comply with. So just moving on from that, a lot of the activities that the farmers are presented with, the inspectors will generally let the farmers know if they want to speak to them and come and visit prior. They rarely go forward and just turn up on the day. But what they'd be looking at is the farm's location and what their activities are. And they would want to have a look at the permits and licenses that the farmers are holding, and obviously to see if there's an impact of any agricultural pollution on the land that may cause pollution into any river stream. Then moving on from that, any inspections that they take, in particular, they would be looking at the environmental permitting regulations around groundwater in the permits, sludge and industrial waste, which is the land spreading deployments, the sludge regulations generally, and any waste exemptions around agriculture. So this is quite a lot for farmers to have to deal with at the moment. So in addition to all of this going on with the Environment Agency, if they do turn up for a visit, generally it should be they are the regulator and they supposedly give guidance. So please just listen to any advice that they give you on the day. If they believe there is an issue, they can give you a warning letter, or for more serious matters, a caution. If they serve a notice, that can be an improvement notice, which is just make the improvements they request, or it can be more serious where they'll actually prohibit you from farming. That is very serious, and you need some legal advice if you get a letter like that. And then, like I say, last resort really is prosecution, but beware, because they do prosecute and they do have teeth.
Thanks, Sheila. That's a lot of good real information there that's going to be pertinent to a lot of our clients. I'd imagine a number of our clients will perhaps be sit there listening, thinking, you know, I don't think I've necessarily done anything wrong, but I need to be ready. And they might be thinking, crikey, what do we do to avoid any of this extra work hassle? Are there anything kind of we can do in advance? Is there some advice we can give them, some perhaps to get them ready for that?
Yeah, absolutely. There is risk assessments generally are the best starting point. If any farmer needs a permit, it's generally a standard rules permit. And as it says, it's a permit. It's just that it permits standard rules. They are on the Environment Agency's website. So if somebody has to apply for this permit, it's a generic assessment that you get this permit. But one of the specifications is that you must have risk assessments in place. So by all means, go on to the Environment Agency website because you will see there all of the issues and the permits that may be required for the type of farming somebody's doing, and then just follow down from that. The risk assessments that the Environment Agency will assist with depend on the risks that are going to be posed by the farm itself. But again, it's very straightforward when you go onto the website to see if you're in dealing with agriculture or with livestock, and it talks you through bit by bit. The risk assessments the Environment Agency provide are, they're just templates, and they are very generic. So it may be that you will have to specifically use your site to adapt the risk assessments, but it's a good starting point. There is no such thing as zero risk. So what you'll need to do is just go through bit by bit around the site, around your farm, and just check that you are complying with all of the risks that have been assessed, and put practices in place to ensure the health and safety around the farm.
Great. I know from previous discussions we've had and previous things that clients have been through that inspectors kind of can look at a variety of things, can't they? So that they may look at the location, what activities you're doing, what licenses, paperwork you're currently holding and permits. Also, you know, if you are next to a water course, they're going to be particularly cautious about that water course and possible impact on it. They might look at nitrate vulnerable zones, you know, water abstraction, how you're dealing with your sludge. And also, if you're dealing with any specific kind of intensive pig poultry units, what waste exemptions you've got, hazardous waste, and also inspections, I think typically take about 2.5 hours. I think you've said to me previously.
Yeah, that's correct. 2.5 hours is about right. Once they decide that there is an issue, then beware, because they will be on site for a lot longer and for a longer period of time. I have dealt with a matter recently with a farm and the water pollution. The Environment Agency came out and they've actually put sonars in the water banks to monitor how much pollution is in the water, and the work that they carry out is chargeable. So at the end of their investigation, if they prosecute, or even if they believe that no prosecution's necessary, but the work that they have done will be charged back to you as a farm. So again, just beware. It's always a lot easier to deal with these matters before there is an incident or an issue.
Exactly. I think like anything, the better prepared people can be, and, you know, circumvent problems, find solutions before you get people knocking, I think is always the best advice. That's great. You know, obviously, if clients do get themselves into this position, they find themselves with this position, obviously there are potential enforcement actions that we've touched upon. These are things that we can help clients with. If you find yourself in a hole, guys, that's why we're there, to help you. Not just at the last minute, though. If you have concerns, get in touch with us early, as what we always say. It's better to be prepared, as we've just touched upon, rather than be kind of fighting fires at the end, trying to solve something. It's better to try and navigate a way around it, or not find yourself in the position at all from the outset. So that's great. Sheila, we've touched on before standard rule permits. I think you've mentioned those. Do you want to tell us a bit more about those, please?
Yeah, the standard rule permits are basically, most industries will require a permit of sorts. So the Environment Agency, again, as part of the permits, there are certain areas that they will expect the industry to abide by. So these permits are, again, you go onto their website and you can have a look to see how the Environment Agency may assist in order for you to gain one of these permits. But specifically, it's for farming, it would be discharging certain substances to ground, or any activity with discharge from domestic treated sewage to surface water or to the ground. So again, you can see where they're focusing in on at the moment. Again, as you've mentioned, in addition to pesticide, we've got waste sheep dip and waste pesticides and waste washings, which is the liquid waste that's left over from washing or cleaning equipment. And again, they will assist with putting together the paperwork that you will need to request a permit, because they appreciate how difficult it is to apply for these permits if you don't really know the risks that you're looking for. So moving on to the risk assessments themselves, as a farmer, you wanted to go ahead and just do a site inspection to see where the risks are. The best way forward is to identify around the site, such as sewage from animals, and identify the receptors. And what I mean by that are, is it people, animals, is it property, anything at all that could be affected by the hazard and at risk from the site, such as the rivers and streams, because obviously everything may flow to that. Again, identify any pathways from the sources of the risks to the receptors. And again, an example or a good example would be extreme weather and floods, which we seem to be having more and more these days. So it's just being sensible when you go around and seeing where you can identify risks. And basically, a lot of cases that I see, it is effluent that's managing by whatever means to access the riverbanks and the streams. So it's just having that mindset to look out for all of the hazards and plan ahead.
Thanks, Sheila. That's incredibly insightful. As ever, we always like to give clients the most up-to-date, but also the most valuable piece of information and try and summarize these things in bite-sized chunks. So that's great. I am conscious about time. As I always say on these things, we like to keep them to the 10-15 minute bracket, as we always talk about, because I always imagine myself sitting, listening to one in the car, listening to one in the kitchen while I'm making a spot of tea or something like that. So you want people to be able to tune in and then tune out after taking in some valuable snippets of information. While I've got you here though, Sheila, a real burning topic at the minute and something that I think we must touch on. Sorry, I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. You weren't expecting this one. The rules for water are really topical as they affect farms, but also generally, you know, we're seeing a lot of stuff in the press about fines for water companies and things like that. Do you want to just touch on that just while I've got you? Sorry to put you on the spot.
It's okay. Yeah, no, the farming rules for water, the reason they were actually introduced was to reduce and prevent water pollution from agricultural sources. So it's galloped ahead since the introduction. But what it does is covers applying and storing of fertilisers and also the management of the soil and the livestock. So the Environment Agency will enforce the farming rules for water in accordance with their published enforcement and sanctions policy and guidance. That's a bit of a mouthful, but it's certainly worth a read. Again, you can look at the EA's policy online. It's not an easy read, but certainly anyone that's having to abide by the rules for water really needs to understand that, so that if they're put on the spot when the officers attend their site, that they know they've got half a chance, they know what they're talking about to them. I mean, reasonable precautions are actions that the land managers might be expected to do in order to prevent any runoff or soil erosion. And that is the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, who are another regulator, but between themselves and the Environment Agency, they work as a team. So the expectation would be that you can control the water from your sites.
Great. Sheila, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome.
We've got a real wealth of experience here and resource for clients to tap into, and we like to share that with them. I hope everyone's still enjoying the podcast. I know we've had some really positive feedback. Thank you for that. Please keep sending it in. If there are things that you would like us to potentially cover, let us know. David, thank you as well for staying with us and putting it on to you and your team. I'll hand over to you, but as ever, I think it's better to be prepared. So if you need to speak to us, please do. So the key message, be prepared. We don't want to be scrabbling around in the slurry with problems. We want to make sure that we're ready, pre-armed, fighting fit for those inspections, but hopefully they never come. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much to both of you. Enjoyed listening to that one. Very quickly for me, as I say at the end of each of these podcasts, we continue to work hard to produce, release and deliver useful and relevant content, podcasts, articles, blogs, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. And that includes all episodes, all 12 episodes of the Rural Roundup with Tom Wills. And there's a whole wealth of content on not only the rural section of the website, but also the regulatory as well. So I do suggest that you check that out. You can also follow the team on Twitter at Sintons Rural and also at Sintons Law. If you'd like to discuss anything either our speakers have gone through today, please don't hesitate to get in touch with them. For telephone for both of them, 01912267878, via email, tom.wills@sintons.co.uk, sheila.ramshaw@sintons.co.uk. We will be back with you in about a month to 5 weeks' time. Just wanted to echo Tom's sentiments there, just in terms of the amount of people that continue to tune into this podcast series. It's staggering. We've had over 150,000 people have listened to the series to date, which is staggering, and that continues to grow. So thank you for that. Thank you for engaging, and thank you for sending in your topics that you wish to hear from us about. We don't take it for granted, and we appreciate that. Enjoy the rest of the summer, everybody, and we will speak to you very soon. Take care. Thank you.